Please be seated. I want to begin by saying how good it is to be with you on this last Sunday of August. It has become a tradition of the elder, I guess, it sounds like. Nancy, my wife, was going to be with me, but we found out that our son, who got married last summer and lives in Colorado, is coming. He came in last night with his new wife, and so she felt like she needed to be there to impress the new daughter-in-law. And so she sends her greetings. She's sorry that she can't be here, but she will certainly be here on my next visit. I also want to bring you greetings from all the churches of Pear USA. We're actually looking forward to gathering all of the churches and representatives in a national assembly, which I'm sure you've heard about, that's going to happen right here in your own backyard in November. It's going to happen at Lake Forest, thanks to Kyle and his friendships and relationship with that facility, which can host this kind of a conference. And I want to encourage all of you, if you're able to come to any or all of that conference, to make every effort to do so. I promise you it will be worth your while. Quality speakers, quality time, a great place to network. There's an opening worship service that, at the very least, if because of work or other commitments you can't come, please come and be a part of that as the conference opens, and you can get all the details. Also, I want to thank those who are volunteering, because I know Kyle and Lucy and others here are part of kind of the local team that's helping us to prepare for this. So thank you all so much. Last night, as Kyle mentioned, I had an opportunity to meet not only with Kyle, but with several of your leadership. And I got to say, what a joy it is to hear as we sat and bore testimony around the group of the ways that the Lord is at work, the ways that the Lord is moving in this community and through Good Shepherd, touching individuals and families. And I want you to know that your witness is an encouragement and a blessing to the wider body of Christ. And I hope that your witness to the Lord is also an encouragement, and I want to bring that encouragement and a blessing to you. Sometimes we're so close that we don't see, we don't celebrate, we don't embrace the very things that God is doing right in our midst. So I encourage you to do that. So today we just heard out of Mark chapter 7, our reading. Jesus, once again, if you're familiar with the gospel stories, once again finds himself at odds with the religious leaders of his day. What Mark tells us is that the scribes and the Pharisees were sent from Jerusalem to investigate Jesus. Evidently, Jesus was gaining some popularity, and there was a sense, you can read between the lines, a sense of being threatened in the religious establishment about what Jesus was doing. What's he saying? We need to check this guy out, because the threat for them was to lose hold, lose control somehow of the people of Israel. And Mark says that on their investigation and on their trip, the Pharisees and the scribes noticed that Jesus and his disciples did not wash their hands properly. That is, they weren't conforming to kind of the ceremonial rules that had been established through the generations by the religious establishment. All of these additional laws, you know, we have the Ten Commandments, we have a lot of laws in the Old Covenant, but that wasn't enough. They came up with more and more laws. They built fences around the laws and more rules. And what they could notice was not that Jesus and his disciples were violating any of the commandments of Scripture, but they were not conforming to these rules and laws that had been established by the elders throughout the generations. And Jesus turned the table on them, as he so often did. They would come with a question, "Why aren't your disciples doing this?" And he would come back with a much more profound and much more penetrating question. He said, "Did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus saw how Isaiah, centuries before, had spoken right into what was happening in his context and in this challenge that was coming from the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus is saying that it is possible for us to be, listen to this, incredibly religious. It's possible for us to be devout and rule-following and strict and serious and even impressive and all those things. Because believe me, the Pharisees were impressive in their religion. They were religion personified. They had rules and ways for everything. But Jesus says it's possible to be that way and completely miss the mark. Completely miss the point of what those laws are about and primarily our relationship with God. That is, we can say all the right things, and as Isaiah said, our hearts are far away from God. And Jesus called them, he didn't soften his language, he called them hypocrites. Are you guys the hypocrites that Isaiah was talking about? You know, this word hypocrite is a word that comes from play. It's the same word that was used of play actors in the ancient theater of that day. I know the children are in with me, and they can tune in just for a moment, because I think you'll understand as you listen to this, when Jesus says, are you all being play actors, that we can understand something of the picture that Jesus is drawing and painting for the disciples. He's saying that being outwardly religious without having the heart, without having the inward self right, is like play acting. Now, back then in the ancient theater, they didn't wear makeup. That came later. In this time in history, they instead wore masks. So they would hold up, maybe you've seen it depicted in the movies, where they would hold up the mask in front of their face on a stick and recite their lines from behind the mask. So if I was in a play and I was playing Spider-Man, I would have a mask. And I would change my voice. And I would be Spider-Man. And then I would put the mask down and I'd go back to being who I am, the actor. And there was never a confusion between the person behind the mask and the character that they were playing. Now Jesus says what the Pharisees are doing, what religiosity can do, what religion and rules and kind of the outward stuff can do, is in effect put a mask up. It's not the real me. And he said, it's so easy for us to kind of think that we're the mask, that I'm Spider-Man, if we're just holding it up properly. And Jesus says, that's what our religion is all about. That's what these rule-following, very, very judgmental Jewish leaders in Jesus' day were doing. They were living behind their mask, but there was two different stories going on. The story that the mask depicted and the reality of the person behind the mask. You know, this is one of the dangers for those of us who've been Christ followers for many years. Because we actually know about the mask. We know the right things to say. And we know the right ways to act. But all too often, the reality is not there. Under the mask, under the expression, under whatever we're projecting, we too can find ourselves far away from God. And we pull out the mask and we neglect the things that really matter. Jesus goes on in this passage, and he speaks to the heart of the matter, which is really what this is all about, literally the heart of the matter. He says, beginning in verse 14, after he had demonstrated this difference between the rules of the elders and the law and word of God, he calls together his disciples. He says, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person. And the disciples question him about that, and they say, how can this be? He says, are you so dull? He says, don't you see that nothing that enters from the outside can defile them? For it just goes into your stomach. It doesn't go into your heart. You see, there's this theme that's emerging, and what Jesus is saying is that their hearts, Isaiah said, are far from me. It's our heart that God is after. It's the heart, the inward person, not the outward, not the mask. It's what's going on inside that matters. And Jesus goes on and says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of the person's heart, Jesus says, that evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery and evil and malice and deceit and lewdness and envy and slander and arrogance and folly. It's all of these things that defile us. It's what's going on in the heart. You know, Jesus isn't really, he was all about the heart, but he wasn't really introducing this concept. This is something that was with Israel from the beginning. The great Shema in Deuteronomy 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? That's where it begins, with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. It begins with the heart. It doesn't begin with the mask. It doesn't begin on the outside and work itself in. It begins on the inside and works itself out. Psalm 15, which we read, spoke to that same reality for us. It says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks the truth in his heart. And speaks the truth in his heart. It's what's going on inside that the Lord searches. And Jeremiah kind of identifies the problem for us. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17, 9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our problem is a heart problem. It's an internal problem. Humanity's issue is, what's the condition of my heart? And don't be fixed, Jesus is saying, on the outward stuff. Begin with your heart. Allow God to search that heart. Allow yourself to begin there and to see what God can do. Jesus was all about the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, he said, for they shall see God. But he also taught and demonstrated, if you just think about what happened in the lives of his disciples, how he ministered to people, what he taught and demonstrated was that hearts can be changed. Thanks be to God. I'm so glad that my heart can be changed because I understand what Jesus was saying about the Pharisees is also true about me. I know what it is to hold up a mask and live behind it. But Jesus came with good news to those who lived behind a mask. And he says, I can change a heart. I can transform a life. But the way I do it is not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And Jesus, who ushers in the kingdom of God, tells us that the kingdom primarily is not about external rule. That's what everybody was expecting, this kind of overthrow of the Roman government. They thought it was political. They thought it was something outside. And Jesus says what the kingdom of God is about is the reign of God in the hearts and lives of men, women, and children. That God invades our lives and our hearts and changes and transforms them in such a way that God now rules and reigns our very heart. Our very heartbeat, our passions, what we long for, and who we are. That God goes right to the center of our being. Romans chapter 10 says this, beginning at the 8th verse. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's an amazing thing that the apostle is telling us here in Romans, that God gives us new life through the belief of our heart. And what our heart believes in is the word of Christ, the cross of Christ, the work of Christ, what he's done for us, the love of Christ. And when we can believe that and embrace his death and his resurrection on our behalf, and we step into that, we are justified. We're made right. For the very first time in our lives, we stand before a holy God made right by what he has done. The fourth chapter of the letter to the Hebrews is all about the heart. And the writer says, quoting from the Psalms, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." That this is the path of transformation. This is the way to a new heart, is hearing the voice of God, hearing the word of God. He goes on in the fourth chapter to say the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, he says. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. And so it's the Word of God, that living and active Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that speaks the gospel, speaks the love of Christ, speaks the cross and resurrection of Christ into our lives in such a way that not only are we laid bare, but we're made whole. It's the same thing. You know, Thomas Cranmer, this Anglican father who was the architect of the first Book of Common Prayer, you know, gave us this prayer we said this morning, this collect or prayer of purity. And he understood this concept of the heart. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Because that's the issue, is where's our heart? Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. You see, the heart of the matter for us today and every day as a follower of Christ is our heart. Where's our heart? Are we far from God? Are we living behind a mask? How's your heart? Do you need some surgery? Do you need some work? Do you need the infusion of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to soften your heart, that you might receive the Word of God in such power, that you might understand and embrace the cross and love of Christ that we proclaim in this gospel in such a way that we're made alive and we're empowered to live out this life, not from the outside in, not with rules and externals, but from the inside out, something that Jesus and only Jesus can do. The greatest miracle was not changing water into wine. The greatest miracle was taking a heart that's deceitful above all else, that's desperately sick, as Jeremiah says, and making it whole. giving it life, filling our imagination and our passions with the love of Jesus, and so shaping and transforming our lives that we're empowered in that love from the inside out to move out into the community that God's placed us and share the same love with others who are desperately in need of this gospel, this treasure, this good news that we have as followers of Christ. Please pray with me. Father God, we do ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would reign in our hearts today. Lord, you know the places that are dry, the places that are hard, the places that are in need of the only thing that can bring life to our lives. And so, Lord Jesus, move in this place right now, I pray. By the power of your Spirit, touch our hearts. Transform us, empower us, embolden us, that we might be a people who live and share the love of Jesus with our families, in the places we work and live, in every sphere of influence that you've given to us, Lord, that we might put off the aroma of Christ because our hearts have been changed. In Jesus' name, amen.